Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you're present with us. We give you thanks for this. And we ask that as we hear your word being preached, so our ears will be open, our hearts will be ready to receive your word, and that we may know more of you and grow in our trust and in love of you and all that you've done in Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we ask it. Amen. In the opening verses of this psalm, we learn of the glory of Zion. Zion is the city of God. It is the name of the place where the people of God worshipped God in the times of the Old Testament. And now, in the times of the New Testament, we have our eyes redirected not to a place which is in the Middle East, but now we have our eyes directed to heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's where Jesus went after he rose up from the dead on the third day. He ascended into heaven, and he has been given the name which is above all other names. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. He is King on God's holy mountain in Zion. He is the King in heaven. And we learn here of the glory that there is in Zion. We see here that it is a holy mountain. Its foundation is holiness. It is holy because God himself is there. God is holy. He is perfect. He is without blemish. And when he created the world, he made everything good, but mankind turned away from God and desired itself rather than him. But God remains the same. He was holy then, he is holy now. And for any chance to enter into heaven, there must be holiness among us. And we must be holy. How can we do this if we have sinned against God? It is not possible for us to make ourselves holy. We could try as much as we liked, but we would not be able to measure up to God's holiness, which is why he sent his son Jesus. He is holy. He lived as one of us, but without sin. He has pleased God. And it is because Jesus pleased God that he could enter into heaven. And God has his son Jesus there in heaven. And he gives us this promise that all who trust in Jesus, all believe in him, will have the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ on their side. And Jesus shall cover all his people in his holiness. And so we will have our sins forgiven and made anew. Zion, the city of God, has as its foundation holiness. And the place you see here is a mountain. The mountains which we've spoken before of as being the most majestic things in all of creation. Breathtaking to see the size of them, the sheer scale of the mountains of the world. And of course, the mountains are a safe place to be. It is where some will go to if they find themselves in trouble. They will flee to the mountains. Or if there is a natural disaster such as a flood, the place to be is on the mountain. Who can be touched on the mountain? And God's place is on the mountain. It is a holy mountain. and it is a city that God has founded. This is a city that God has established in his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ is the cornerstone. He is the stone that keeps this city together. And he has granted to us his word, which tells us of how we may enter into the glorious city that God has established in heaven. The foundation of the city is the word of the prophets and the apostles. And Christ is the cornerstone in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple of the Lord. The wise man, Jesus, teaches us, builds his house upon the rock, not on the sand. When the rivers come up and when the sea rises, when the high tide comes in, the building on the sand is knocked away. The building which is on the house of stone, on stone, I should say, this is a safe place to be. And Christ has been made the sure foundation. All who build their homes on Christ and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they find their home to be on a sure foundation. Whatever troubles, whatever might happen, and who of us knows what will happen tomorrow? But the house which is built upon Christ is one that has a sure foundation. All will be swept away, but God and his people will remain forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion, and he has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever, he says in Psalm 132. Here I dwell because I have desired it. Well, if it is here that God dwells because he desires it, then I shall find that on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. For all other ground is sinking sand. The glory of Zion is shown in its foundation. And it has a great foundation in Christ because God loves the city. God loves Zion. We read of this in verse 2. He loves the gates of Zion. And the gates here are, of course, on the outside of the city. And the picture here is telling us that God loves all of the city to its very borders. And he loves all who are in the city. There was a time when Zion was considered to be a very lowly place, and few, if any, had any thought for it at all. It says in Jeremiah chapter 30 that the people said this about Zion, that no one cares about it. No one cares. No one cares for that old city. The old city where God said his people were to come and to gather and to worship the Lord together. But few care. But the Lord spoke and he said, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob and have compassion on his dwellings. The city shall be rebuilt on its mound, and the palace shall stand where it used to be. We see here, don't we? We learn here of God's love for his city, his people who are much reviled and are little in the eyes of the world. And the church, which is thought to be something, an old relic of some previous generation. But God loves his church. He has set his heart upon the church. His love for it is so great. The world may place little value on it, may even turn away from it and have nothing to do with it. The church is not loved in the world. Other things are much more appealing to it, but not to God. There is nothing more appealing to God than his church. He loves the church. He loves Zion. He loves the city. He says here that he loves it more than all the dwelling places of Judah. And Judah was very important to God. That's where the nation of God's people lived. They were spread throughout the land of Israel and Judah. But God had a special love for Zion, a special love for the place where God's people gathered to worship. And so he said in Psalm 78, the psalmist says that he rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loves. He loves his city. He loves his church. He loves the church so much that he sent his one and only son to live and die for her. God only has one son. Only one. And he gave him up for us all. He loved the church. Jesus Christ loved the church. He still loves the church today. He loves her so much that he gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without sprinkle, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. You see, the glory of God is in his holiness, and this is his great love for his people, that you shall be holy as he is holy. And so Christ presents us to God without spot, without wrinkle, without any blemish. He loves the church. And because God loves the church and we've come to know God through his Son, Jesus Christ, it is only makes sense then, doesn't it, that the church can then begin to speak about God and tell of the experience that the church has of God, and how the church can tell such good things of God. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Here the psalmist is thinking specifically of the city, and we might think of the church. Glorious things are spoken of the church. The church where so many of us were raised. The church where so many of us have heard the gospel from such an early age and have come to know God and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps later on in life you have come to church and you have heard the gospel and you have had your eyes opened and now you have come to know God for yourself, and you can say, oh, it is a glorious thing to be among God's people and to learn of God together and to worship him. How is it that the people of God can say glorious things are spoken of you, O Zion? How can it be that glorious things are spoken of the church? It is because glorious things are spoken of God. Glorious things are spoken of God by his people. Is it not true that if we have not yet been restored to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, then we do not have glorious things to say about God. In fact, God might be a word which we use to curse, preferring to curse God. No desire to bless God, it is only cursing God for making this world and making us in it. But when we come to know Jesus Christ, we begin to bless God. And our hearts are changed for the better, rather than harbouring on to sin and guilt. Lord Jesus Christ has come and he offers us salvation in his name, that we may be returned to God and be able to say glorious things of him, which is so much better. The people of God then are able to tell of God's goodness. We can tell in our lives and in our experiences. We may have had hard lives and difficult experiences. And yet, as Christians, we can say truly, yet God has been good. And God has helped us. His love, his care, his provision, his compassion that we come under as his children. The people speak great things of God and of his city. But who are these people? Who are these people? This is what we read in verses 4 to 6. Well, we see here that the people of God are, to use the terms which are given to us in the Bible, the people of God are both the Jews and the Gentiles. Of course, in the times of the Old Testament, it was the Jews in particular that God had as his people. But he also said that if any should come and join my people, then they will be my people too. When Jesus came to us, the gospel went out to the whole world. The good news for all people in the world, that should any, whoever they are, whatever they have done, should any come to trust in Jesus, then they shall be numbered among God's people. And this is exactly what we are being told here in the Psalm. Among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Rahab, which is another name for Egypt. Egypt, which was one of the great enemies. Essentially, to be in Egypt for the people of God in the times of the Old Testament was to be in hell. It was a living hell. To be with those Egyptians who are so against God and so idolatrous. But God loves people of Egypt as well. And he draws them to himself. And the gospel goes out to them as well. Babylon. Babylon of the north. Babylon, to where God's people were taken into exile and who they were enslaved. Babylon, which stands for everything that is worldly. The worldly city. The city which God is not so much as considered. And yet the gospel goes out to them. And God draws people from Babylon, from worldliness, to himself. Philistia, the Philistines were the traditional enemy. The traditional enemy. That nation that was always fighting against Israel. And always causing one problem or another, invading cities, taking the Ark of the Covenant. Almost took their king. The enemy of God's people, the neighbors, the enemy. God says, I love you too, and I will have some of you as well. And I will save you from your sins. Tyre, we hear of Tyre here. Tyre, which is not a place so well known today, but then was the great city of commerce. The great trade center. if it was a city today, it would be one of the major stock exchanges, one of the cities that you'd hear about every day in the news. A place of commerce, trade, materialism, and many from there shall be drawn to the Lord as well. Ethiopia, Kush, today, Ethiopia, a place which was far away from God, far away geographically from the Lord's people. But the Lord is not stopped by distance, and he draws those who are far away from him to himself. And so the people of God are those who perhaps have been raised in the church and those who have been far away from God. And yet God works by his Spirit to draw you into himself, that you may know Jesus as your Saviour. The people of Zion are the Jews and the Gentiles. We also learn here that the people of Zion are born of God. How can this be? The people are born of God. It is because God lays hold of a people. People who are born in the world, people who are worldly in every way, the people of Egypt and Babylon, to speak figuratively, the people of Philistia and Tyre and Cush, thinking of all that these places represent, and he grants to these same people a second birth, a new birth. Because you see, that is what we are being told about here. We are being told about the new birth, the rebirth that we have in God. This one was born there, they say. He or she was born in Philistia or Ethiopia or Cush. But see where they are reborn. They are born again in Zion. So the psalmist says, this one and that one were born in her. Remember when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, who was the ruler of the Jews, and he was the great teacher. And he did not understand what Jesus was talking about when Jesus said to him, you have to be born again. You know, when we read this psalm, he should have known what it meant to be born again. Because it is here in the psalm. It is here in the Old Testament scriptures. That God had already spoken in the times of the Old Testament about the need to be reborn. That we will not find our way into heaven if our only birth was the birth that we had here in Inverness or some other part of Scotland or some other part of the world. But to enter into heaven, we must be born again. We must be born in the city of Zion, in God. And so Jesus said to Nicodemus that you must be born again. Not re-entering into your mother's womb for a second time, as Nicodemus thought he meant. But you must be born of spirit and of water. You must have your sins cleansed and forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must come under the regenerating power of God's Holy Spirit, so that you become a new creation, so that you no longer can say, I only belong to this world. But now you belong to God. Now you are reborn. Now you begin to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you have come to recognize that you must trust in Him for your salvation. And so God is at work by His Spirit, and He comes to us and He recreates us. We never before could have said anything good about God. But by the work of God's Spirit, by His grace, we are reborn and we begin to trust in Jesus, and we find that our new home is in the city of Zion. We have birth registers here. I expect all of you will be on a birth register. It will be lodged in the council where you were born. Every one of us. God has a birth register. God has a birth register of all who are born again. He has written down the names of every person who has been born again. Every person who is born in His city. Every person who has had the second birth and who will have the second birth by God's grace. God has written down their names in the book of life. See, it says there in verse 6 that the Lord records as He registers the peoples. This can also mean the Lord counts as He writes down the names of those He loves. It's amazing, isn't it, to think of that, of God writing down your name. And friends, we must have our names written down. We must have our names written down. Because it is only those who have their names written down who will enter into heaven. And the scripture tells us that as God opens up the book on that day, the book of life, on the final day of judgment, God takes the book and opens it up. And He reads it, and He says that if your name is not found in that book, then you shall be cast into the lake of fire. You must be found in the book of life. Now, how do you know if you might be found in this book of life? By calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I know who are mine, and they know that I am theirs. They hear my voice. And so, in Revelation, when the picture opens up for us and it tells us of Mount Zion and the glory of Zion and how the Lamb is enthroned there at the top of the mountain. And it speaks of the many thousands of people who are gathered there to worship God. Who are those people? It says that those people are those who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Wherever He goes. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you trust in Him, enter into the glory of heaven. The Lord registers, He grants citizenship in heaven for all who trust in His Son Jesus. And so we finally have the Spirit of Zion. We have seen the glory of Zion, and we have seen that there is the people of Zion. We now see the spirit of Zion. In verse 7, singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. Here this is joy. It says, it's such great joy when finally that burden of sin and guilt comes off our shoulders because the Lord Jesus Christ has taken it from us. And now we are free to rejoice and give glory to God. Singers and dancers, you see the spirit that is happening here. It's a celebration. It's happiness because of all that God has done in his son Jesus. Do you know that the time when the singers and dancers would be there and they'd be singing and dancing, it was in the time after a war, when the victory had been won. The singers and dancers were present when David had killed Goliath. And they came out and met Saul, and they said of Saul, you have killed your thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. David won a great victory on that day. There's no greater victory than the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Victorious over death, victorious over sin, victorious on the cross. As there he destroyed the devil and all his works. Victorious as he raised up from, as he was raised up from the dead on the third day. Victorious as he ascends into heaven and is there the King of Kings. And with that rejoicing, there is also rejoicing among all of God's people who say, all my springs are in you. In other words, everything, my foundation, the source of all that I must be and am, this is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. All our springs, all that is good, pours forth from Jesus. He makes us glad in our souls. He brings us great happiness. Because God has set his king on the holy hill, Mount Zion. It's there that really, as we have our eyes towards the city of God, eyes towards Zion, there we find the great reason for rejoicing and happiness. Because the King of Glory went there. And the King of Glory went there and poured his soul out to death so that you may have forgiveness of your sins. So glorious things are spoken of Zion. Glorious things of thee are spoken, wrote the hymn writer John Newton. Zion, city of our God, God whose words cannot be broken, formed thee for a blessed abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's wall surrounded, thou mayst smile at all thy foes. See the streams of living waters springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Who can faint while such a river ever flows their thirst to assuage? Grace, so like the Lord the giver, never fails from age to age. Amen.